I don't know, the Chinese, they have names to every year. The year of the cat, the year of the rat. Do you know that?
Yes.
The Chinese year, I don't know what year this is. This is the year of good cheer. When we lie down to sleep at night, our eyes close, and we have all expectations that we're going to open our eyes and still be alive. Isn't it? We don't think that when we close our eyes, and maybe the closing our eyes to the future of this body. But death is just like that. 1 minute your eyes are open, 1 minute your eyes are closed, and you're out of the body. You're finished. It's death. But no one ever thinks about that. Everyone's so busy not thinking of death. And everyone is actually, it's actually a fact, everyone thinks that they're never going to die. So we think, I'm going to live so long, if not forever, practically forever. So I have so many plans and so many things I can do and want to do. And absorbing myself in Krishna, or meditating deeply on God, or thinking what service I will do for Him, and how will I fit into the spiritual world, and what will my role be there, what will my service be there, and that thought never crosses our mind. So, new year, new day, new moment, new body. It's beginnings. It's all beginnings. We begin a new year, we begin a new life. We begin a new day, new body. So that we should be very conscious to utilize every moment we have in loving service of Radha and Krishna. And at the earliest possible moment, we should arrange our lives so that we can spend every moment in their service. And every moment not in their service is a moment wasted. And we can't say that eating is Radha and Krishna's service, or sleeping is Radha and Krishna's service, or working is Radha and Krishna's service. That's our service. Hearing about them and chanting about them and meditating on their service. This is called Swarup Siddha Bhakti. This is perfection. So we should, as soon as possible, somehow, somewhere, someday, some life, arrange our time in such a way that not a moment passes without direct service to Radha and Krishna. Because this is the aim and objective of human life. To enter that domain, to enter that realm, where everyone at every moment is serving Radha and Krishna. There's no sleeping, there's no eating, there's no mating, there's no defending. There's only serving every moment, moment to moment. Chittam, Brajadam. Well, it's something to think about. If we lie to sleep, we're so tired, we close our eyes, and we can think at that moment, what if I don't? Because people die in their sleep. Young, old, men, women. And the next day, they wake up and they don't wake up. They're dead. And then people say, oh, what is this? They're only 35. And then they do an autopsy. And many, many times, despite all the modern science and Apollo hospitals and advancement in diagnostic equipment, and they do an autopsy and they say, we don't know the cause of death. It's very common if you're a doctor or read the newspapers. So-and-so died, unknown causes. Right in the hospital. You can go to any hospital and say, how many people die? You don't know how. He was young. He came in for a health checkup. We just kept him under observation for one day or whatever. The next day, he was dead. So unforeseen circumstances. Heart, everything, they can't, inexplicable. So when our time is up, it's up. It can be any time. It can be our last time. And Chanakya, Pandit says, you can't buy back a moment of time with all the gold in the world. and collect every single piece of gold in the entire world and try to buy back a moment of time. You can't do it. So a minute lost is lost forever, never to be regained. So New Year's, every day is New Year's. Every day, New Year's, new fears, new cheers, new tears. A New Year's, new fears, new fears, new new tears, new tears, new cheers. So happy New Year's. Happy new fears. Happy new cheers. Happy new tears. You used to cry for your mommy, and you used to cry for your father. Now you cry for your husband. Now you cry for your wife. You used to cry for toys. Now you cry for bangles. You used to cry for dresses, now you cry for cars. You used to cry for watches, now you cry for apartments. This is new. What's new? What's new? This is a very interesting thought, the philosopher's outlook. That how have I used my life? How have I passed my life? What profit have I gained? What promotion have I made? What progress have I attained? Where am I and where is God? And what is the distance between us? Is it slight? Is it great? Is it vast? Is it short, long? When kabe habe bolo se dinamar? When will that day be mine? Think about it. You lie down in bed. Myself, I often think, I go now. What if I don't wake up? Oh. And then if I do wake up, I better really utilize this day for pure Krishna consciousness. Thinking of the Lord and seeing the Lord everywhere and reminding everyone of the Lord. When I was walking around in Puri, people look at me and say, Hare Krishna. Everyone is saying Hare Krishna. You know? People are all in their own like space, somewhere, wherever they were, and they're absorbed in their own egoistic worlds. And because it's pious land, India is a pious land. Generally, when you say Hare Krishna, most people they kind of say, Hare Krishna. they come out of their ego space and enter the divine space of piety and religious remembrance, and then they say, Hare Krishna. But when they're in the ego space, they're looking at you and saying, oh, you're Videshi, and you're Western, and I'm Indian, and what are you doing, and what am I doing? And they kind of look at you, and you look at them and smile, and say, Hare Krishna. And he goes, oh, that's right. We're all spirit souls. We're all children of God. God is a common father. There's no India in the spiritual world. There's no Punjab in the spiritual world. Thank God. There's no sin province. There's no sharmas. There's no karmas. There's no varmas. There's no varmas. There's no sharmas. There's no karmas. So this is the thing. We close our eyes on the old year and open our eyes to the new year. What's the difference between sleeping at night and dying? It's both pralaya. One is partial pralaya, one is full pralaya. It's like half, like Brahma, the end of his day and end of his life. End of his day, there's partial devastation. End of his life, everything's devastated, even him. So every night we're devastated, pralaya. We lie, and whatever we created during the day, it's gone, it's finished. Then we sleep and start anew the next day. Then again, pralaya. But in death, you know, you're there, and everyone's looking at you, and you're looking at you. Remember Krishna, remember Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you close your eyes, and that's it. That body's finished. That chapter's over, closed. No new acts, no more acts, no more scenes. Finished, dead, gone, cold. Ashes. bury it, whatever. Then where? Where do you go? Then you open your eyes in your new body. 7 months, 9 months later. 7 months later, you become conscious. Then 2 months later, you come out. After 7 months, oh, I'm in a body. What happened? Oh my God, here I am again. Krishna saved me. Happy New Year. Then you come out. No one comes out laughing. Laughing Cow. I have restaurants in America called Laughing Cow. Pretty good joke. Non-vegetarian restaurants, right? Laughing Cow. Poor sense of humor. So does anyone come out of the womb laughing? Why? You laugh when you're what?
Happy.
Happy? And cry when you're
sad.
So day one, you start off your career in the material world sad. Think about it. So hey, what are you crying for? It's New Year, it's a new year, Jack. You know, happy birthday. You're crying because he's missing. You cry when you're missing something, or you're unhappy. So that we were in good shape when we came out. We should have just kept crying, crying for Krishna. So that's partial devastation, lying in bed. That's examination time. You know, because when people are lying on their deathbed, then they get really serious and they call all their relatives and friends and say, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. I was mean, I should have been nice. And people try to rectify all their accounts and adjust all their relationships in a positive way. Happy departure. But that devotee, he should be do daily accounting. Say, Krishna, now I sleep, maybe this is it. What have I done? What have I made any contribution? Have I benefited the world? Have I done anything to show my gratitude? What I've received from the Lord, from my well-wishers, my gurus and my superiors, my teachers, my parents and grandparents, and my Shikshan Diksha gurus, have I and somehow tried to repay the debt to them and helped others and benefited others? Have I been a good soul? Have I been a good student? Have I been a good child? Have I been a good parivar wala, whatever you call it, family person? Have I represented our gotra properly? Have I represented our sampradaya properly? Have I acted in pure consciousness? And then you review all your accounts, say, well, Krishna, now I'm closing my eyes, so if you want, you can carry me forward. Please close your eyes, Hare Krishna. And it may be the last moment. Usually people listen to some radio. Yesterday, a cricket match between Pakistan and BBC newscast before you can take a rest. Clutter your brain, walk, and then die in that state of mind. Devotees are always said to be deeply thoughtful and deeply responsible. Devotee has a great responsibility. As once he comes under the devotional umbrella, then he has a responsibility to become perfect. Because he's been adjusted on the path of perfection. He's been accommodated, accepted. Prabhupada has a book, Path of Perfection, right? You've seen that book. So the devotee has been adjusted there and accepted there in the path of perfection. It's a heavy responsibility, actually, to be a devotee of Krishna. Because you come under Krishna's protection, you come under Krishna's blessings, you draw so many dividends from the Lord. So responsibility, position and responsibility, there's lots of duties there. And so when Krishna shows his favor to some jiva, that means he's picking that jiva out of the ocean of birth and death. So now that jiva has been chosen, the chosen one. So then he has to really close up everything very fast and not hesitate to go forward. Don't hang on, don't hold on, don't hang on, don't cling on, don't procrastinate. Otherwise the mercy will be withdrawn. And we'll go back. It's kind of like someone, you're drowning in an ocean, someone extends a rope to you and then you're climbing up the rope into the helicopter in the middle of the ocean. Is that you're drowning in the middle of the ocean, a helicopter comes and drops a rope. And then you're coming up the rope, and then the person that's at the top of the rope says, listen, you know, you're coming up, we sent this rope to you, but there's some conditions here. Do you promise to do this? You promise to do that? You say, well, I don't know. Then he takes out a knife and he starts cutting the rope between you and the helicopter. Are you promised or not? Well, yeah. Then you say, no, they go, shoop, shoop. He cuts the rope and you go back into the ocean. So there's big responsibility accepting the servitorship of the Lord. Accepting the Lord as one's master. So then because he's an emperor and an autocrat, absolute dictator in a land of love. But love is like that. Love dictates its own will. And if you try to dictate to love, then there's no love. And it can only be one dictator unless you have a coup d'etat and try to overthrow the dictator. But in this land, the dictator's name is Ajita. Ajit and Achyuta. No one's ever defeated him. No one has ever conquered him. Right? He's infallible. So there's only one choice, only one course of action, that's surrender, and absolutely. So hanging on, holding on, it won't make it. It'll just perpetuate the sojourn, increase the internment in the four walls of birth, death, old age, and disease. It's called Durga. Gati means destination, dura means far, or difficult, or hard. So destination is very hard, it's very difficult to get out of this material world. So the material world is called Durga. Durga, the fortress, the citadel of Maya, the prison house of illusion. And we're all in it. But being a devotee means getting out of it. So if we have some positive spiritual plan to approach Krishna, which all of you have your different plans, it should be implemented at the earliest, before that day is gone. This is a message of the new year. We have this good spiritual plan has been revealed to us for increasing our love and service to Krishna, but we want to sleep on it. But you may never wake up. Then the plan goes on and you change bodies. But no guarantee we'll get another human body. No guarantee we'll get such a good situation. Just like nowadays, you can see that the quality of people that are being born now, the jivas that are taking birth in human bodies, are really low class. They're really degraded. The kind of clothing, the kind of newspapers they read, the newspapers, the fashions, the clothing, the music, everything is degraded. Everything's very degraded now. Even in India. India is like, seems to be leading the way. Someone's telling me about, you know, undergarments. You know, they're selling undergarments with all kinds of pornographic phrases on them. You know, in India. You know that? It's like unbelievable. In the marketplace. And they had Jagannath Balaram, so they put Jagannath in underwear. And then the Jagannath temple is making some suit to that company. That's like mild thing, but they have like really, really dirty and filthy sayings, you know, words written on the underwear. And they're selling in India, in Delhi, Bombay. And the middle class, you know, people are buying these things, which means that, it's called supply and demand. The business field works on supply and demand. If there's no demand for dentists, then it wouldn't be a good idea to study dentistry. I'd be out of a job. So the demand is there, the supply is there because the demand is there. People want these type of underwear. If you publish a newspaper, a black and white newspaper, with all really good news and really good reporting, and no pictures of ladies inside and no color, do you think it'll sell? No. But 50 years ago, what were the newspapers in India? 30 years ago, 20 years ago, all black and white, all just news. No ladies everywhere, this, that. And they sold millions of newspapers. Why? Because people are different. Different attitude, different desire, different taste. So now people are just completely bodily oriented. Everyone, all the young people born, they're all just into the body and into just, you know, monkey life. Dog life, monkey life, pigeon life. Just all gross sense enjoyment. Everywhere billboards, everywhere in Bombay, India, all foreign whiskeys, teachers, Johnny Walker, teachers, Shiva's Regal, everywhere. McDonald's, meat, fish, eggs, intoxication, all Kali Yuga. So that all this is available, this supply is there because the demand is there. Demand is there because the mentality is there. Mentality is there because of the body. And the body is there because of the consciousness. The consciousness is very tamasic and very degraded and very demoniac. And that's the kind of jivas that are being born now in the year 2000, 1990. So if you don't perfect our lives now, we come back, what is it going to be like? They're already eating babies in so many countries. They eat babies. You can go in restaurants and buy babies and eat them. Tokyo, Hong Kong, New York, France, everywhere. Now you just... Why go in a restaurant? Just eat your own kids at home. I'm not making anything up. It's not a fairy tale, is it? You know, am I making a fairy tale?
No.
So all these things go on because of the consciousness. People want it. Leadership of all the countries is all sudras, all the, you know, scheduled class, and all this, like. All the Brahmins become bhangis, and all the bhangis become leaders. It's like really wild. Goswamis are eating chicken and eggs, and it's really... So the point of all this is just there's no guarantee what our future body will be. Or now we have really, really good advantage. Good brain, good body, piety, spiritual interests. So we should go for it, as they say. Maximize our absorption in spiritual activities. Don't wait. Oh yeah, we'll do this later, we'll do that later. Like, I know you all have different plans to do different things. I trust no future, however bright. As the world is, it's been relative peace the last few years. But the history of the world is always, there's wars every 20 years or so. And there hasn't been a war for about 25 years, major. But it's predicted soon. 2008 is supposed to be pretty wild for some, not India so much, but America and some other countries. Pretty hard times. But anyway, everything's individual. We all are going through pralaya, srishti pralaya, every day srishti, every day pralaya, and finally mahapralaya, katamogya. Before Mahapralaya comes, we should become self-realized. Each day may be our last. That we should realize. Well, not to make anybody scared. But we should be, a philosopher should always be sober. Positive pessimism. Optimistic pessimism. Pessimism with a hope. Hopeful pessimism. Because usually pessimistic people are hopeless. We're pessimistic about the material prospects, but we're optimistic about the spiritual potential. You see the difference? We're extremely enthusiastic and optimistic about the spiritual potential. And we're similarly extremely pessimistic about the material reality. Making money, paying loans, is that. Like you say, oh, if I sell this, I can do this, I do that, then I move here and there. Well, just do it. That's all. You have a good plan. Husband's a guru. And why are you supposed to follow the husband? If the husband's taking you to God, then you should be thank your stars. If your husband's not going to God, then the wife should take the husband to God. Either one. Nowadays, the woman's in the driver's seat. The man's in the back seat. We just say, look, this is how we're going to do it. Let's do it. Boss. Oh, yeah. Like, dude, the caveman days, you know, the guy would go out and with a stick. The guy would go out with a big stick and he sees some nice girl and tonk, hit her on the head, right? And she had long hair like this and just grab her by there and you're coming back to my cave. She go, oh. And he'd drag her back to the cave and say, okay, now you cook and you clean and you'll be my cave dweller, my cave wife. She's okay. And she would just live like that. So the man is like, has some idea for his spiritual life. He should just hit the wife and say, come on, let's do it. Mommy, daddy, this, that. Oh, forget it. Mommy, daddy, everyone's gonna have their own creation, their own Tristi and their own pralaya. Everyone has their own karmas, their own destinies, their own futures, their own plans. You have to move according to your consciousness, not according to relative considerations. It's like Kirti was telling me, I called her up from Puri, because she had called about our arrival. So I returned the call and I said, so what are you doing? She said, we're having some reception for my son and any relatives are here, or some program, my relatives. So then I said, well, aside from your relative program, what about your absolute program? I said, that's your relative program. What's your absolute program? And she liked that. And that's a fact. Everyone is putting 90% of their time into their relative program. And only 10% of their time into their absolute program. But it should be the other way around. It should be 95% of my time and energy and effort is in my absolute program. I work for 7 hours, and to do that work, I need to sleep for 9. So that's 16 hours. And then I have to bathe and eat and this and that. That's 4 hours. That's 20 hours. So at least 4 hours for my absolute program, maximum, in a day, if I'm lucky. 20 hours relative program, 4 hours absolute program. Doesn't look very auspicious. So it should be the other way around. 20 hours absolute program, 4 hours relative program. And at the earliest, we should work for that. Just work 4 hours, boss. Finished. So these are thoughts for the new year. At least that's what I'm thinking about the new year. That this year should be the year of the Dark Lord, the year of Krishna. Everything for the center, everything for the beloved, nothing for me. See Krishna everywhere, and Krishna in everything, and Krishna in everyone, and try our best to see how to minimize everything with Krishna bhakti. That should be the game plan for the year. Minimize all material activities and maximize all spiritual activities. And that's what discussions should be about, that topic, how to increase our spiritual activities and decrease our material activities. This is the option of human life. This is the privilege of human life. Opportunity to attain spiritual perfection. Chant more Nam, striving for chanting pure Nam, Shuddha Nam, chanting with loving feeling and mood of dedication, begging the Lord. So we also have lamentation and separation from Krishna. We should cry to meet Krishna. We put so much emotions and so much feelings and so much care and concern into useless people and useless arrangements. Just like bubbles on the ocean. A bubble comes up and poof, goes out. And that's it. No more report. No more existence. Relatives. Relative program. Mothers, fathers, friends, cousins, uncles. Just bubbles on the ocean. Sea foam. Crashing waves. One wave crashes and so many bubbles. Then a few seconds, the wave is over, the bubbles are gone. Then another wave. So our whole life is just one wave. Our entire life is one wave, so many bubbles, and all the bubbles are relatives. In a few seconds, it's all over. Then another wave, and more bubbles. And we're one of those bubbles. Being pushed by the waves of time. Seriousness is required. But when we associate with lackadaisical people, with unfocused people, with undetermined people, then we become soft. We become complacent. We become weak. Lose sight of the purpose. We become absorbed in the humdrum. Humdrum. The stale, the hackneyed, the habitual routine. The routine, the daily routine. Wake, eat, work, sleep. Wake, eat, work. Wake, bathe, eat, work, sleep. Wake, eat. It's like, then some laughter, then some crying, then some fighting, then some sleep, then wake. Wake, bathe, eat. Sleep, wake, bathe, eat, work. It goes on like this. And then another year, then Happy New Year. Then a whole another year goes by, then, oh, Happy New Year, Nayasal Mubarako. Sukraho. At any rate, it's a new year. Everything's auspicious. Day one. In 2008, that means number one. 8 and 2 is 10, that means number one year. So we should make Krishna number one. Should have one and only interest. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Eva Kevalam. Cable. Only one. This is a year of one. Last year was a year of nine. 2007, 9. So this is one. Let there be one Lord, Deviki Nandan. Let there be one mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Let there be one engagement, the devotional service of the Lord. And there let there be one attainment that we all work for, and that's spiritual world and eternal service of Radha Govinda in the groves of Vrindavan. This is the oneness of this year. So I pray that all of you can take very seriously Krishna consciousness and make this the center and everything else the circumference. This should be the center pole, and everything else should orbit around this, like Dhruva Loka, pole star. pole star should be Krishna's happiness, Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna's eternal service. And that should be the center of every day, center of every hour, center of every minute, center of every second. Everything else is just circumference. Hare Krishna.